The next case I want to talk about was the one that the Supreme Court handed down after the Burlington Resources case, and this was Bluestone versus Randall. And you're not going to be able to read, obviously, what's on the left-hand side of the slide that's up on the screen, but here's what we have, and there's been talk about it from Professor Anderson earlier today. You have a form oil and gas lease that has a custom addendum attached to the back of it. And so even though you can't read what's on the screen, please take my word for it that the form oil and gas lease has a market value at the well gas royalty clause. And then there's an Exhibit A, which is an addendum to it, and it does have language that says that the language in Exhibit A supersedes any provisions to the contrary in the printed form. And then the first thing they supersede or change in paragraph 14 is they change the 3/16 royalty to 1/5, and you can see where they specifically strike language and change. Actually, I think the lease may have said 1/8, but they clearly change the royalty fraction to 1/5. And then they add this paragraph 26. And paragraph 26 is not ultimately quoted in its entirety in the Supreme Court's opinion, but it says, lessee agrees that all royalties accruing under this lease, including those paid in kind, shall be without deduction directly or indirectly for the costs of, and then it lists this laundry list of the things one might deduct. And then the second sentence says, lessee agrees to compute and pay royalties on the gross value received, including any reimbursements for severance taxes and production-related costs. Now, I would suspect that at least a third of the lawyers in this room are saying, wait a minute, that's the clause from the GLO form lease from that era that the El Paso Court of Appeals said did not cause the royalty to be free from post-production costs in the GLO versus Sandridge case in 2014. And you would be right. This what was apparently done is someone took the provision from the GLO lease form and stuck it in the addendum. And so there was, in the Randall case, there were a series of different lawsuits that were ultimately consolidated together, but at the trial court level, they were decided on summary judgments at various phases in time. When the first one of these cases went before the court at the trial court level, the El Paso Court of Appeals in GLO versus Sandridge had construed this very language and said that despite this language, it was appropriate to deduct post-production costs when calculating the royalty, and a petition for review had been filed and full briefing on the merits had been requested by the Supreme Court, and the very capable attorney for the Randall family stood up and said, I suspect that, yeah, this is the provision from Sandridge, but we all think that the Supreme Court is going to grant the petition and then we'll get some additional law on this, because the land office was involved. There were a lot of, it was a case that everybody was really talking about at that point in time. And then lo and behold, the Supreme Court denies the petition for review in Sandridge. Hargrove gets real excited, and we think, okay, this clause has been decided. And so the trial court, of course, ruled against Bluestone, and the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth also ruled against Bluestone and wrote a very lengthy, very thorough opinion saying that construing this language and saying that paragraph 26 conflicts with the market value at the well provision from the base lease, and therefore it was not okay to deduct post-production costs. Now, everyone also agreed that it's the second sentence in paragraph 26 that does all the heavy lifting. The lessee agrees to compute and pay. Everyone agrees that if all you had was market value at the well, plus you cannot deduct these various specific things, that's a heritage provision, and it would be okay to deduct those things to pay royalty based on the price less those things, because that would be the gas's value at the well. I'm still not convinced, nor will I ever be, that paragraph 26 completely replaces the royalty clause in the body of the lease, but I am wrong. I've been told I'm wrong by the Supreme Court of Texas unanimously. But nonetheless, that's what I still think. The Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals in Fort Worth, issues an opinion. It's very long, it's very thorough, it's really great until the end. And then the Supreme Court grants Bluestone's petition for review. And at this point in time, Hargrove gets real excited again and says, you know, the overwhelming statistics are when they grant a petition for review, they rarely grant to affirm. You know, everything is going to be great. And then we get a unanimous opinion in Bluestone versus Randall that says Hargrove is wrong. and that this provision, really, they distill it. Justice Guzman wrote the opinion, and of interesting note, I think, sort of, maybe, kind of, she was in the dissent in Hyder. She would have had even the overriding royalty in Hyder to be cost-bearing, but she basically has the word gross do all the heavy lifting, even distilled down from the sentence. She says gross and net cannot peaceably coexist. The very concept of post-production cost is a net concept, and this says gross value received. I think what gross value received can mean is that it's telling you that if you're going to compute market value at the well, you are to use the netback method rather than do some sort of a market study or survey. I realize not many people do market study or surveys anymore to figure out what the royalty ought to be. But nonetheless, that's the holding. There is a very interesting holding about lease use gas that was talked about some today already. The issue there is that Bluestone had a contract with the gas processor that they got to use a certain amount of gas for plant fuel in the processing plant, and they didn't have to pay Bluestone for that gas. And there is a free use clause in the lease. It's in the lease form provision. In the courts, in that use, the plant was not on the lease premises, but it's clear that the point of that lease use was to make the gas where one could sell it. It certainly benefited the leasehold. There had been no, according to the Supreme Court anyway, and I agree there are some old cases, but it was not a matter clearly decided in Texas at the time, and so the opinion spends a whole lot of time discussing all the various other jurisdictions that have handled this issue.